on digital radio, on the app, on your smart, on X, YouTube, and Facebook. The Sportscast, football in general.
The update presented by The Sportscast.
January football in the Sportscast, January 5th, 2026. If you haven't yet, please subscribe in all our channels, X, YouTube, Facebook, Spotify, and Apple Podcasts. You can also listen to us on your smart speaker. If you are listening on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, please leave a rating and a review. It will help us out tremendously. We're also on online digital radio. You can visit our website, thesportscast.net. Also, follow us on X and Instagram at thesportscast1. And check out our app, The Sportscast, for iOS. Week 18 is closed. The regular season of the NFL 2025-26 came to a close this past weekend. And the best part comes to postseason. And join us all the way from Palm Beach, an optimistic Cowboys fan, Brett Blair. Welcome back to the Sportscast.
Thank you. It's not, happy New Year, my friend. It's always good to see you in 2026, man. We're going to make it happen, right?
We're going to make it happen.
There you go.
2026, the Sportscast had a great year, actually. I have not talked about this in a while. We had the best year ever since we started in 2018. The most views, most our website had like the most page views. We rank up there with Bleacher Report and ESPN, I'm gladly to say. So
I take full responsibility. I take a full responsibility.
I don't know if we had
the any of those. Yeah, I listen.
Back in June.
I just try to take full responsibility for everything. But I'm happy, man. It's well deserved. You know, especially seeing you and being there at the beginning. You know, when it was just you and I sitting there, and to see what you've made of it, what's become now is amazing. And I'm thankful to be a part of it. I'd love to be.
Hey.
You know.
Absolutely.
Cog that can in the machine. So what are we talking about, Santiago? Break it down,
well,
to me, sir. What's going
well,
on?
Today, if you did not notice, Black Monday happened in the NFL, which was like people are asking, What is Black Monday? Is when teams decide if they want to get rid of their head coaches and also their general managers, not much the assistant coaches for some reason. But the first one that came in the chopping block was Atlanta Falcons, Brett. They got rid of Raheem Morris, who was the head coach, and the general manager, Terry Fontenot. They did not. I think they had a winning record, but it was very slim. They brought in Kirk Cousins. That didn't work out. And, of course, Michael Penix. Was that a bad draft decision? But, Brett, what are your thoughts over Atlanta, the Dirty Birds?
No, Penix is odd because they thought it was going to be so much coming out there where they even benched Cousins, a proven commodity, so to speak, at Minnesota and some other places in Washington, to put in Penix, and for some reason he started good, lost it. I don't ever think Raheem Morris was in a position that he was ever not in, in the amount of years he was given. Obviously, everybody wants results. The NFL is a results-driven league. You can only go so far with the players that you have on your roster. They have some monsters in Bijan, Drake London, like. But they just are missing pieces at so many positions. I mean, I know what Raheem Morris, Brian Daboll, Brian Callahan, Stefanski, Pete Carroll.
We'll get to that. But the Falcons, they might hire Matt Ryan as the president of the team. Brett, Matt Ryan is a winning quarterback. But what are your thoughts over that? That could steer the direction of the Falcons. And maybe he could lead the coaching search.
First of all, I would love to know where you heard that from because I didn't hear.
Well, that's been that. Hasn't been official, but that's been throughout the wires throughout
the back end chatter
yesterday.
He played for at a high level. When your nickname is Matty Ice, okay, you did a few things with the ball. So
wasn't the kindergarten nickname.
I just think that would be I haven't heard anything of this, but I think that would be a tremendous. That's like a John Lynch type thing stepping in, you know, and I think that would be a perfect fit. I think that's a great idea, and I hadn't heard about that. That's exciting, actually. I don't think Raheem Morris deserved to be fired for, you know, as much as I believe Fontenot, you know, just was doing nothing as far as putting the final pieces together that they need. So,
speaking about having big names, former Cowboys quarterback, Super Bowl champion Troy Aikman is going to consult the Miami Dolphins with their general manager. The guy got rid of Chris Greer back in November. Mike McDaniel is probably going to stay, Brett. But what do you think about Troy Aikman? Not a Dolphin. He's a Cowboy, but kinda, I mean, I don't like that, to be honest. It's kind of like crossing over like enemy lines. But what are your thoughts over this move by the Dolphins?
Well, Jeter did it, right? Jeter came down and did it with the Marlins. And I'm going to be honest with you. I have no problem with it because as much as Troy Aikman is Mr. Cowboy, and, you know, is always it's another situation where you're bringing in somebody who has far more depth of knowledge, not at surface level, there's level to Joe, right? There's levels to it. And Aikman can literally check the box at every level. He is a no-nonsense guy. Like, he's not, like, when we hear him announce, he's jokey. Like, from what I hear, he's very, very much transparent and very much tell you how he feels immediately and stick to his guns. So I think that as much as it pains me to see him do it with another team, I would say, again, it's a very, very smart move and another example, just like you said, of Matt Ryan, where at these GM positions and at these associate positions, former players that have far more knowledge about the game and how it needs to be played out, needs to be coached, and how it needs to be drafted at every level.
I don't remember if Troy Aikman has ever consulted the Dallas Cowboys.
No, never. That irks me a little bit, but what can you say? The Dolphins were smart enough to do it. They need it.
Yeah, because I think Dan Marino has done it before, but I don't think it's just panned out.
And when Marino stepped in, he's not – Marino and Aikman cannot be compared as far as – I don't care about stats. I don't care about Super Bowls. I'm talking about the way they go about things. There's an arrogance level with Marino. There's a resistance or a push to anything he doesn't like or any type of change that he doesn't agree with. Aikman's not like that. He's going to break down how he feels, and I just think their approach to the game at this level is far different. I believe when Marino was almost like a token, I don't believe he had any say or was valuable in any way, shape, or form in informing them or guiding them in a direction. Aikman is that type of guy. It's a smart move. It's a brilliant move.
And so far, Aikman has some names. They're looking at the Rams assistant general manager, John McKay, Eagles assistant general manager, Alec Halby, Packers VP of player personnel, Eric Sullivan, two 49er candidates, one director of scouting football operations, Josh Williams, and VP of player personnel, Tariq Hamad, which I think I heard about this guy.
And John Lynch, you know what I'm saying? These are guys that's, like, we talk about coaching trees, right? And that isn't the coolest thing as far as the coaching realm. What coaching tree are they on? Who started it and how far along? It's the same thing. We don't talk about it, but your director of player personnel and your GM, you know, better be on that same level. And that's the difference. That's what changes the culture of a team. Yeah. Brings Super Bowl victories, allows you to put a few more Lombardis at the stadium, you know?
And the last was back in 1973, was the last time. So, which Brett remembers. I was not around at the time.
And I was a baby at that time.
You're 5 years old. I'm sure you remember something about that.
Three years old.
All right, let's go to Arizona. They got rid of Jonathan Gannon after three seasons. His winning record was not good. Losing record was huge. Issues with Kyler Murray. I think he was involved with the whole contract extension that, you know, Murray couldn't, like, he would not study the plays. But Gannon, young coach, did not work out in Arizona.
No, I mean, nothing can be said. I don't feel either way versus Jonathan Gannon. I really don't have a lot of say for, I mean, he did nothing while he was there, But again, what are you surrounding with? You have like one of the best tight end in the game there.
The most expensive tight end.
Team look. Well, didn't he just set the record for the most receptions by tight end in the season? You start doing stuff like that where your name gets written in that book of all-time records, you start being able to earn money at a different level. But again, I don't know. Who do they bring in? Like, it's, I'm sorry he's gone. You did nothing for the team. You're a mediocre at best every year. I don't believe they even had a winning record yet. 2004, 8-9.
Yeah, he had 15 wins and 36 L's losses.
Yeah. You can't. That's you can't do it.
You know the Cardinals.
Kyler Murray was a problem and not studying the playbook. I had never heard that before.
Yeah, not a homework guy.
Okay, so that's where you. Yeah, what did they pick? What's the Cardinals pick this year?
That's a good question. Let me look it up. But did you know that the Cardinals are the oldest NFL team, 100 years old?
Yeah, they were from Arizona. They were originally, it has to be some team in the Midwest, like Chicago or one of these. What were they called before they were the Arizona Cardinals? I mean, they were the Phoenix Cardinals for a while, the St. Louis Cardinals, I remember. But were they St. Louis? Is that where they originated in?
I don't know. I thought it was Arizona all the way. But anyways, look at the draft order. Number one, Vegas. Cardinals are number three. So that is an appealing pick, isn't it?
Great. I mean, obviously, you're not getting Mendoza.
No, okay? He's a number one.
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't, as far as some other quarterbacks in this.
Is a weak quarterback class, FYI.
Well, that's what I'm saying to you. I see them trading back. I really do. I see Arizona trading back and trying to get. I mean, like, which fits in perfect. It's funny, like, we're joking about that. Like, if you look at number 12. And then you don't have a little bit more. You go down to 21, which you don't have in there.
Yeah, it's not yet. The playoffs will be more.
This number 21 here that says Dallas Cowboys also. So what I'd love to do is take number 12 and number 21 and see if they want to trade out at number 3, and then we take Reese out of
Ohio. Yeah, you want Ohio that State. Defensive end? Is he a defensive end?
Yeah.
To replace Micah Parsons.
Correct. He is the next, quote-unquote, Micah Parsons rusher. Or just to get off topic, because I got it with my Cowboys, why don't they do both of them to the Raiders for Max Crosby? And
which,
now they have three.
Which I heard they want to move him out.
Right. Well, they held him out that last game.
He's been a cancer in the team, I heard.
They said he was like hurt. They said he had a high ankle sprain. And
no, knee
injury. Showing, but he was shooting threes. Like jumping all over the basketball court on videos I was watching.
Dude,
that's not
menace.
Somebody with a knee or high ankle.
He's a menace. You think Cowboys can handle him?
I would love that. He would be a perfect fit there. A game wrecker who can is a dominant. Other than Myles Garrett, there's no other better true defensive end. I'm not talking edge rushers. I'm not talking because they play the game a little differently. But he is a defensive end that can not only get to the passer, but is a great defensive player. I'm just throwing that out there because obviously, you know, now with Arizona and their pick, who do you take? Who would you go? You know what I'm saying? There's the quarterback class is weak other than Mendoza.
Yeah. He's the only guy coming out strong. Maybe the Miami Hurricane guy's back, but I don't know. It just depends how the scouts rated. Let's stick with the Raiders, Brett. They got rid of Pete Carroll, old man, 74 years old, oldest coach in the NFL after one season. He only had 3 wins, 14 losses. It was a disaster. Got rid of Chip Kelly a couple of weeks ago, but old man, it's done. I think he's going to a retirement home after this.
Yeah, I mean, look, has the game passed him by? Can he no longer do it? It's not for me to say. You're saying yes by the product.
He was phasing out with Seattle towards the end. He was phasing out. He was not all there.
Okay. I mean, you think he was doing like a what's
I mean, look, you lose your curveball, right? Eventually, at a certain part of your career, you lose your curveball. He's 74. I don't know why Tom Brady hired him. I guess maybe he felt a little bit more safe with him, but it did not work out, this experiment.
No.
So,
one and done. I was – I was surprised it's one and done, but that should speak for itself as far as his age, obviously, and having that. If he's a step slower and he's losing it and the game is literally passing him by, is the phrase they like to say. Yeah, he's got to go. This is where I'd like to see Flores get this job. Brian Flores, the defensive the defense coordinator for Minnesota. I think he would be perfect.
Oh, for the Raiders.
Yeah, yeah.
Really he's not suing good. Them. It's a possibility, but I think
– You know, it's funny. We were talking about that he could have – if he hadn't done that with suing the NFL –
The Giants, the Dolphins.
He would have his pick of any places, because out of all the places that need him, the Giants are not taking him. No. But he will go. He'll get a head coach job.
And the thing is, a lot of teams are afraid of that. It's like, well, I don't know. His little attitude and the suing, could that happen to us? You know, it's a big question mark. So let's go. You brought up Brian Flores. I'm going to wait a little towards the end about that. Browns part ways with Kevin Stefanski. Tough gig, Brett. Tough gig. Two-time coach of the year. Deshaun Watson, Shador Sanders. I don't know if anyone could coach this team.
This team, excuse me, is a dumpster fire. this team is a dumpster fire. You have nothing at almost – there's almost no position. There's only one position on the field that's actually – and it's the best defensive end in the game, you know, who just set the record. But
Miles
the
Garrett.
Team is horrible. 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 It's funny how it took to the end of the season after everybody bashed Shador for them to, like, put him in and him do okay. Like, compared to how the rest of the season went, with Shador was far more entertaining, and they did far better with Shador Sanders at the helm. And that just tells you, and all year, all they did was joke and make fun of him. And
you think Shador was a fifth-round pick after all?
I mean, he was embarrassed with it. He should have been drafted higher. I don't know how in the minds and souls of everybody out things change like that. He will play in the NFL. He's going to work because he's going to work on his craft. He has a father that's going to say to him, look, if you want to keep doing this, you need to get better than you are now. The whole team needs to get better than they are now. But when you got Deion as a head coach, as a father, it's not difficult to be able to have somebody to get a little information on how to make themselves better. What do I need to do? Work on my craft. And you're showing Miles. This is some say you think Burrow's just fell down, or you think
he was falling down. He did not want to be sacked. That's what Aaron Rodgers did last week. He avoided it like a plague.
Yeah, but look, Brett Favre did it for Strahan. Remember,
but the Giants,
yeah. But if you look at this, like show one more time, he would have had him anyway. There's no way he was getting away from look. Yeah, I mean, there's no lane, there's nothing, like, right, he's not going anywhere.
Like, nah, he's just like...
Hurt turf toe. But what do you think about them throwing him on his shoulder? Like, what do you think about that? They stopped the game, and they carried him off like he was Rudy, bro. Like, he was Rudy.
Which the Bengals coaches did not like that. They did not like they paused the game for the celebration.
Yeah, so I guess I wasn't aware that every major record, when it is broken, the NFL officially stops the game for a set amount of time to recognize it. But when you got enough time to carry him off on your shoulders, and you still got a game to play, like, come on. But didn't they what was the final score of the game yesterday?
The Browns won by 20-18, I think.
Okay, I thought it was.
It was like a 2-point win, and terrible, terrible season for both, you know, for Bengals and the Browns. But which
one? Kevin.
Yeah, so we'll for sure cover that. You brought up Brian Flores, something that potentially could happen, but Dallas Cowboys, Jerry Jones, doesn't like Matt Eberflus. They want to do changes. What are your thoughts of that and potentially Flores coming in?
Like, well, you are the one who mentioned this to me a while ago.
Would you think
I've been running with it? I don't know where you heard it. I love this. This is something that, like, if we could, I don't know why Eberflus ever came in. For one of the few times, although he's been drafting very well, Jerry Jones and I agree. First of all, I agree. I don't know if I talk about it later, but cutting Diggs, like just waving him.
Yeah, what do you think about that?
Good. Yeah, I mean, if you look at him, he had a great year. He's been injured more time since then with major injuries, like out of the 4 or 3 years after that. He's missed two of the full years. When he has played, he gets burned deep repeatedly. He likes to jump on every route to try to make a big play. It works sometimes where you will get an interception, like he had that great year. But if you look at his stats as far as how much yards per reception against him, and he's a liability. And he's a max contract. Cut the contract. He has to pay money back. I think you're the one. Did you tell me this? He has to pay $400,000
back. I'm not aware, but it's possible.
First time I've heard about that. Not only do they get to cut the salary, but I would love Brian Flores to come over. We need a defensive culture shift. We have some players. We really do have some really good players there. If we can get that defensive end / edge rusher, I believe that's the only piece of the puzzle.
Trevon Diggs is not going to the Packers, but overall, how would you rate the Cowboys season? What rating would you give them? A, B, C, D, or F?
I mean, I'd put them right where they are. I'd give them a C-.
C-.
I mean, hey, you got well, here. I can put that into a little bit better perspective. We know that there's multiple phases to the game. That's when you're playing the best football, your offense, your defense, and your special teams are all playing on this, you know, at the same level, and you're getting all three phases. Our offense is one of the top three best offenses in the entire league. Our defense is the worst defense in the NFL. Our special teams are a little bit above average. Devontae Turpin, we have our angerer, is actually so the offense would get an A, special teams would get a B, and defense would get the lowest F. If there's an F minus, they get an F minus. That equals out to a C. Okay, so that's where I came to it. So I want to kind of break it down, explain how I got where I got.
And head coach Brian Schottenheimer is here to stay.
Yeah, I love him. I really do. I think he brings – we just need to, again, get a couple more pieces to the puzzle. Get somebody that can take the defense. This is the one thing. Is when it comes to head coach, I'm going to be honest, I like a defensive head coach. Campbell, Dan like Campbell, Quinn. Yeah, like the defensive-minded head coach, so that he lets somebody else handle the offense and the defense of the team becomes the culture of the team. And we have none of that. None of that. The answer is not to get rid of Dak. Everybody's like, that's the only thing we have working for us. Why don't we get the defense working again, and then we'll talk about it.
There you have it. Well, Dallas Cowboys had a C-minus season, but we got one more thing to do. We need to recap the last week of the NFL because a lot happened, a lot of meaningless games, but it was pretty exciting. Brett, are you ready?
Yes, sir.
Packers, Panthers, and Bucks. This was a must-win for either team. Baker Mayfield threw a touchdown pass to Cade Otton. Chase McLaughlin hit three field goals as the Bucs has a 16-14 victory over the Carolina Panthers on a rain-soaked Saturday.
Super boring game. Super, super boring game. I watched the whole thing, and, the Bucs won the game and put themselves in a position last week that they won the game, but they still didn't win the division.
Or made the playoffs. The Seahawks are heading into the playoffs with the NFC's number one seed, Brett. Zach Charbonnet scored on a 27-yard run in the first quarter, and Seattle shut down the high-powered San Francisco 49ers offense in the 13-3 victory over the 49ers on Saturday night.
I would talk more about Seattle's defense. If you look at all the playoff teams, like the six best defenses are all in the playoffs. The Seahawks front four, Glenn Williams with DeMarcus Lawrence, that is what I came out of this game with. That a 49ers team with McCaffrey and Purdy playing at a very, very high level came in and completely, completely shut them down. They owned them the whole day. The only time they got close, McCaffrey tipped a ball for an interception. And that was literally the only time they were a threat to score the entire game. So both teams going to the playoffs. 49ers had the opportunity to take the number one overall seed. Yay. You got to show up, guys. You got to show up. The Seahawks gave them a smackdown. And I was very impressed with Seattle's defense.
We'll see who has the best home field advantage. Let's go to Houston. C.J. Stroud accounted for two touchdowns before sitting down at halftime. And Kamai Fairbairn, the best kicker, who was in my team, fantasy team, made a go-ahead field goal with 12 seconds left to lift the Texans to a 38-30 win over the Indianapolis Colts that extended their winning streak to 9 games, the hottest team in the NFL.
Look out for the Texans as the little. We got the Texans and the Jacksonville Jaguars in the AFC.
Little dark horses?
Those are very, very odd teams. But I will tell you this again. We talked about defense. I'm shocked the Colts scored 30 because that Texans defense is the best defense in the NFL. You throw Denver in there with that. Philly's defense is in there with that. And that's that top five, that top six. So the fact the Colts put up 30 is impressive. But I'm far more impressed with Stroud putting it together like we thought he would, you know, in this year. He didn't do it early. But what there is the NFL
starting?
Who's playing the best football at the best time of the year? And that's where teams like the Texans, that's why Philly, you know, we'll get to Philly. That's where they're so dangerous. Because who's playing good football right now? Who's coming together? The Chargers? Not really. They're not really playing good football.
The Texans and the Broncos, I think.
Yes, sir. The Texans, I agree. I like them as a little surprise. I'm gonna throw it out there, and I'm going Texans AFC free agency champion.
This win did not save Raheem Morris. The Falcons hung on to win a messy 19-17 game, sending the Panthers to the playoffs and Tampa Bay home for the season. Carolina now plays in the postseason for the first time, Brett, since 2017 and claims its first division crown since 2015, and the Panthers had the Falcons to take the final touches.
Well, I mean, Falcons get an ugly win for a game that meant nothing more than that they had the ability to knock another team out of the playoff. The Saints have not been playing bad, honestly, the past 3 or 4 games. The defense has been playing very well. Like the Saints started playing, it didn't matter. It was meaningless football at that time. In a horrible, horrible, horrible division, probably the worst division in the NFL. But
to say the least.
Yeah, but Bijan Robinson is the most Barry Sanders-esque.
Wow.
Okay, so yeah, the move he had where he put his hand on the
ground. Put those two names in the same sentence.
Esque, I said. The
running a caveat.
Thank you. He's not.
But Barry that Falcons Sanders, team is full of talent. Whoever takes on that team is going to be special.
They need a few key pieces because they got, remember, Kyle Pitts on that team also. They started coming on late.
But he hasn't flexed his muscles yet.
Sometimes he disappears. Somebody needs to get him in and work on his craft to where he understands, I need to be part of this game. I cannot disappear. I cannot have one catch for 11 yards. I need to say something. You know, he needs to be utilized more. And to be honest with you, it would be incredible as far as Cousins to have London now and have him as well. You know what I'm saying? As a little security blanket. That's the way the offense should be running. That's whoever is the head coach. I'm sure that's the direction they're going to go. Let's utilize our key pieces, fill some holes to get some youth and talent where we need. But we look record. The Falcons are what, probably number four or number five or number six as far as things. So
I'm sure Matt Ryan's listening to you right now. Let's go to Minnesota. JJ McCarthy has a productive first half. He was injured again. McCarthy's injuries. Fullback CJ Ham rushed for a short touchdown, and Minnesota Vikings finished a frustrating season by beating the Green Bay Packers, who have already made the playoffs 16-3 on Sunday.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, Packers came out late in A. Like, I understand you, but nobody wants to back into the playoffs. That's the worst, probably the worst way.
You got to have momentum coming in, right?
Yes. Who's playing the best football? It's all gel. We're all playing, you know, we have the momentum. We have the forward, you know, like you said, but
we want to rest our players, Brett.
I think the Vikings were impressive in the fact that they were just pissed that they were going to be watching the playoffs, just like we're going to be at home watching the playoffs. They are also, But it's pretty impressive that they held the Packers to 3 points.
I will tell you this. Minnesota did announce they will get a veteran quarterback to mentor McCarthy. They've announced
really?
That. So we'll see. Now, remember, Phil Rivers is not a candidate. He's going to be a coach next season in the NFL.
Well, on the Vikings, I did hear something about Aaron Rodgers there. So, I mean, obviously now he's in the playoffs.
The Bucks are in Pittsburgh. Let's go to Jacksonville. There's some momentum there. Trevor Lawrence threw 3 touchdown passes, Brett, breaking the club's single-season mark for total scores. And the Jaguars earned a home playoff game versus the Bills with a 41-7 drubbing of Tennessee on Sunday. Cam Warren had an injury in his shoulder. It was the most lopsided outcome in series history.
Jaguars are playing very good football. Plain and simple. Every phase of the game, Trevor Lawrence has shown he is Trevor Lawrence. I've always had a little bit of a chip on my shoulder as well with him just because he did so well at Clemson. Came in, was supposed to be, you know, just like what Joe Burrow was supposed to be. Just went in, and he is playing some really, really good football. And they have their thing now is they have some youth and talent on defense on that team that really make them.
Youth and speed. Can it be the Bills next week? We'll find out later in the week.
Great game.
The Giants gave the game ball to Tom Mara, who was dealing with cancer. Jackson Dart was 22 of 32 for 231 yards. Dak Prescott completed 7 of 11 passes for 70 yards and lost a fumble off a botched snap. Brett, the floor is yours. And also, Joe Milton came in the third quarter.
I mean, obviously, you don't want to go out like this, but here I'm officially signing. Like we've literally owned the Giants for about 4 to 5 years. Won both games,
Wow.
So we don't own them anymore. I'm going to sign them back over to the rest of the league. Hold on. All right,
we don't like the lease.
Yeah, we don't own the Giants anymore. I signed off on it. I don't like going out like that, but it was a little bit of an embarrassing of a game. But you know, the Giants just wanted it more because this is a worthless, useless game. There's no, I mean, other than maybe like Pickens trying to end up being like number 3 for yards, or there's nothing in this game, absolutely nothing. And to make it worse, we lost a nothing game. If it's a nothing game, you want to win it at least. We didn't even win it, we lost it.
Which Pickens is a free agent next season. We'll see what the Cowboys do with that. And the Giants have big head coaching shoes to fill. We'll see what happens in the offseason. The Cardinals. Matt Stafford passed for 259 yards, Brett, and threw 2 of his 4 touchdown passes to Kobe Parkinson. And the Rams rallied to secure the number 5 seed in NFC playoffs with a 37-20 victory over the Cardinals.
So Stafford, MVP. It might be backwards for you. MVP. He will actually win the MVP this year. Drake May, obviously having a friggin' incredible year. Like had some stat line last week that was ridiculous. But I believe it's what 45-8? 45 touchdown passes, 8 interceptions, I believe is what that's
a lot.
Yeah, those are like, you know, Madden. Those are Madden numbers that you throw up. That's not,
I thought you were gonna say Joe Montana.
Montana never threw for that many. I mean, I know Peyton Manning and Brady threw for 54, 55, and right in there. But to just come out and I mean, look, like Puka Nacua is Puka Nacua is in my opinion, like I guess him and Jamar Chase, but are the best wide receivers
over Justin Jefferson.
Things he can do over. Most definitely, 100%. When the ball is in the air, it's Puka's ball. It's his ball. Like, I don't care what you say. This is my ball. I'm coming down with it. You know, and then you have Devontae. You know, you get Kyron Williams. You have a great defense. That's the team that obviously, you know, we're thinking can sting Philly. That's right. That remains to be seen.
Which we'll talk about. Devontae Adams coming back this weekend.
Yeah, off the hamstring.
Let's go to Vegas. Daniel Carlson made a career-long 60-yard field goal. This is a year for field goal kickers, it feels like. With 8 seconds left to give Vegas a 14-12 victory over the Kansas City Chiefs on Sunday and end the Raiders' 10-game losing streak, Brett. His previous long was 57 yards. Raiders was not enough to keep Pete Carroll's job after this win.
Well, you touched on it briefly. In the NFL game today, your kicker is a weapon. It's never been that way before. The way they go for fourth downs more than ever.
What happened to the Ravens?
So many points on the board with the field goals, like not kicking the field goal when you're at the 2 yard line, and you do it twice, and then you get the. It's ridiculous. Put the points on the board. I know it's popular now to go for the on fourth down and go for the goal. Stop. There's times for all of that, but as far as the kicking game specifically in this game, remember, they have the new kicking ball. There's a specific ball that is not a game ball that is used by the kicker. It allows them to kick the ball a little bit better. And if you are an Aubrey, if you are, you know, a fair, like a Fairbairn, like you're talking about, these guys are honestly weapons because 52, Fairbairn. No problem. 54, hey. I got you.
And if you make them, you have a good chance for a good contract extension.
What so. I told you they should be scouring every South American soccer team and every English soccer team, European soccer team, and bring in people over. We'd have a ton of great kickers. Trust me.
Where's the Grammatica brothers? Let's go to Grammatica. Let's go to Philly. If Eagles would have won, they would have had a higher seed. With Jalen Hurts and Saquon Barkley on the bench, Eagles second stringers falling to meet the moment. The Washington Commanders got fourth quarter passing and rushing touchdowns from Josh Johnson and beat the Eagles 24-17 for a classic NFC East game.
In his 12th season coming in and doing that, but as much as this made me smile than anything else, more than yesterday, the Eagles did not play anybody. They literally sat the entire first string of everything.
Was that smart?
So, I mean, yeah, you can't really, you know, there's some other players got. And again, does that mean you're that ballsy that you're like, you know what, we're just going to rest everybody this week because we know we can bring it next week. And that's you know, when you don't
that's
think this game, right. Do some coaches.
You got to put in some reps, at least pay half.
That's what I'm saying to you. Some coaches would say, no, we got to go out and play this game so we'll be prepped and we can build up a routine.
Bill Belichick has put in their starters even after being like in the playoffs for weeks. He's like, no, I'm playing. This is football.
They have, because if they're off the continuity that they've built, it's such a game of timing, such a game of preparation, of practice. If you practice well, you play well. If you don't practice well, you don't practice hard, then you don't play hard. People always think it's just yeah, they come out and play games. These guys work hard.
It's all the best of the game. Prep. Stretching, all that, which nice. 1 year they cost the Patriots with Rob Gronkowski got injured week 18, week 17, which it kind of bite them in the bullet. But it's okay. Yeah. Let's go to New England. Ramondre Stevenson ran for two touchdowns, Brett, and caught another from MVP contender Drake May, and the Patriots completed their remarkable turnaround season with a 38-10 over Miami.
Ramondre Stevenson ended up being receiving and rushing over the last like 5 or 6 weeks of the season, he is going to be a dangerous piece for this Patriots team. I think if they can get Ramondre Stevenson going, because obviously they have the 1-2 punch with the rookie there as well. But his ability, it's the wheel route, is his favorite route. Where the running back just wheels right around and just goes right up the field. And he's in multiple weeks now, in multiple games, he's caught the same route on either side of the field. And he is impressive catching the ball. So Patriots are going to be dangerous. I'm excited. Like when you talk about it, you got Denver and you got the other teams you talked about already. This AFC, man, you know, we Jacksonville, like what are you going to do? What are you going to do with them? The Texans? What's going to happen with all this? This is a very, very odd year, man.
Odd year. We got a few more days to see what happens. Let's go to Chicago. Jared Goff led 5 scoring drives, Brett. Jake Bates kicked a 42-yard field goal as time expired and the Lions regrouped to beat the NFC North champion Chicago Bears 19-16 on Sunday after blowing a 16-point lead in the fourth quarter.
Very, very, again, we talked about playing the best football at the best time. You can't lose a game like this like you did with the Bears. Now you're still number three, because it's the division, you're the division winner of the third of the four the divisions. So now you've backed into that division winning spot. You don't have a bye, so you have a first game. It is at home, but I think it's just a sign, you know, obviously it's a division rivalry. You can't always look as much into a division rivalry as a normal game just because they're played differently. They're handled differently. Weird things happen in division rivalries, but I don't think bode well for the Bears going into the playoffs.
Not good momentum. Dan Campbell needs to find some assistant coaches to call those plays. I hate seeing him with the playing
playbook.
Playbook, unbelievable. Let's go to Denver, the best team in the NFL, maybe. The Denver Broncos secured the AFC's top playoff seed with a bye with a 19-3 win over the Los Angeles Chargers. Bevy of the backups, a victory fueled by McMillan's 45-yard interception return for a touchdown.
Yeah, again, defense. Bo Nix manages the game. He has Cortland Sutton. He has my UCF grad goes to UCF. He has, you know, RJ Harvey, you know, behind him. So that's really what that's all about is he Bo Nix puts himself in position to not lose the game, to get them where they need to be, and lets the defense do the rest. And you are correct. It is a winning combination right now because they are probably the most dangerous, if not well-rounded team in the NFL.
Let's go to Buffalo, the last game at Highmark Stadium. The Bills scored touchdowns on 5 of their 8 possessions, Brett, and their defense didn't give up much of anything. The Jets, who are a terrible team, we had no interceptions this season, during a 35-8 win. The victory makes the Bills the 6th seed in the AFC playoffs, and they're going to Jacksonville.
I did not know. You just said that the Jets didn't have one interception.
One interception. The only team since 1930, almost 100 years.
That
is the Cardinals. That's what they.
That's not records you want to set. Those aren't the type of records you want to be going for. But the Jets are horrific. If I said somebody was a dumpster fire before, this is the whole actual dump is on fire. Okay,
and Aaron Glenn not get fired yet, but apparently probably won't be.
I believe you want to be as funny as I believe Aaron Glenn is a good fit, but if again it works down to talent, and they don't have much talent. You know, they do have Breece Hall. They have a couple pieces, but that's it. The team is so far away from being able to be a contender. It's ridiculous.
It's bad. Let's see what happens with the Jets. Don't think they're as well. Giants a little bit better. The game of the weekend in a rock fight that morphed into a fourth quarter track meet. With huge ramifications for the losing team, the Pittsburgh Steelers beat the Baltimore Ravens 26-24 and clinched the AFC the North by the thinnest of margins as Ravens kicker Tyler Loop missed a game-winning 44-yard field goal attempt. Where's Justin Tucker?
Okay, so let's put this whole game in perspective. Let's just not throw it to that one little – that sample size you gave does not explain the fact that, yes, it was a back and forth time. There was twice that the Ravens were within the 10-yard line of the Steelers and went for it and were stopped. The Steelers did the same thing and were stopped. If you would stop doing that and put the points on the board, it wouldn't have come down to these things. To watch a whole game and see 3 separate times. 2 on one side and 1 on the other where they went for it on 4th and goal or 4th and 1 at the 5-yard line or at the 10-yard line where they don't kick the field goal. So then the Steelers score and they miss the extra point. So now they leave themselves open that it's 26-24 now. And what happens is so Luke, that same kicker that missed it, kicks it out of bounds and gives the Steelers the ball at the 40-yard line. Steelers go all the way down and score. They miss the extra point. Luke now has a chance as now the Ravens get the ball and return it to midfield, giving them an incredible shot to now do it. They actually pushed it all the way down or all the way to about the 35-yard line or whatever. And then the same guy who kicked it out of bounds to give them the ball at the 40 misses the field. So it was so much more in depth than just that, he missed his. To try to sum it up, yes, he did lose the game, But there's so many other little factors that he did that just cost his team the game. You can't kick the ball out of bounds and give the team the ball at the 42 minutes left in the game. You can't miss 40-yard field goals to win a game and send your team to the playoffs. And he's a rookie. He's a rookie of all things. Luke, you're talking about Tyler Luke.
What do you think about the future of the Baltimore Ravens? John Harbaugh, do you think he'll stick around, or what do you think they need to do to Ravens get back?
John Harbaugh's not going anywhere. I mean, if John Harbaugh left today, he'd be somewhere by tomorrow. Like, anybody of any
– I know the Giants are interested.
Interested is one thing, but that has nothing to do with – Harbaugh is not going to go anywhere. The game is now passed by. I saw his breakdown. They showed him when they were all watching the game together when Pittsburgh lost the week before. So this is a coach that's still highly invested in the team. And I would believe it would be foolish, and I don't believe it'll happen. He will not be replaced. He will not be fired.
He's been in Baltimore since 2008, Brad.
Yeah. Got a long tenure and a couple of Lombardis on top of it.
We got a question from Mike Myers from X. Mike, he asks, who is the best player on the Broncos offense?
I'd love to say TJ Harvey, my way to UCF. The best overall, I probably got to be Courtland Sutton. Courtland Sutton's a beast. You know, if he was on certain teams where they were getting him the ball quite a bit, he would be in contention top five or seven for yards, but Courtland Sutton, I'd say, is the best player. Or Bo Nix, the straw.
Bo Nix is my honorable mention.
Okay, yeah, the straw that serves the drink, my man. The straw that serves the drink.
Yeah, great team. Great thing. What's going to happen? Mike Myers says, also incredible fourth quarter to watch. I think he's talking about the Broncos game. I don't know if it's the Ravens game.
There was like seven of them. He's talking about like six different games that were all incredible to watch. They really were.
Games. All right, let's look at the playoff picture. We're not going to predict because I know Brett's coming back on Friday with Ray to predict these games. But looking at the AFC side, which game really impresses you, Brett? We got, obviously, the Bills versus Jacksonville, the Chargers at the Patriots, the Texans at the Steelers. But which game is really going to be an eye-opener?
I'm interested to see what Jacksonville does.
You brought them up a couple of times this show.
Yeah. I'm very interested to see that. I really am. I want to see what Jacksonville can do, especially.
I think that could be an upset. I can see an upset there, Brett. And also Josh Allen with a bad foot.
Yeah, I mean, all of that factors in. Josh Allen is still going to be Josh Allen. But if Jacksonville can keep, they have some magic going for them right now, man. They just have their playing, again, we've said it like five times.
Houston speed.
They're playing really good football. Really good football. Really, really good football on the offense and the defense. So I can't wait. That's the most exciting game to me. I mean, I don't want to pick the other ones. I'll tell you. I'm interested.
Houston-Pittsburgh is interesting. Houston, I'm not saying who's going to win that game, but that game should be pretty exciting. Let's go to the NFC, Brett. We got the Rams at the Panthers. We got the Packers at the Bears. And we got San Fran and Philly. I think pretty obvious which game would be the best there.
Yeah, I can't. The San Fran and Philly game is the game that we all are going to be interested to see. Can San Fran stand up? I mean, obviously.
Because they lost last time. Offense, they did not have Brock Purdy. Got injured in, I think, the first half. And well, they were not able to overcome it. That used a player that was not a quarterback. They didn't have an emergency quarterback.
That day.
It was like the playoffs 2 years ago.
What I'm excited to see, because Philadelphia again is another one of those teams. They're, you know, 11-6, and there's a lot of teams that are 11-6, or there's a few teams that are 11-6 or better, and one of them is who they're playing. So I'm excited to see what happens with San Fran Philly. That's just exciting to me. Like I can't wait. I'm on the edge of my seat. The other game, okay.
Hey, Packers at Chicago. That should be a good playoff game. Obviously, as a divisional rival. Which home team, the number one seed, Seattle or the Denver Broncos, has more of a home field advantage, Brett? The high altitude of Denver, And Seattle's
the 12th man. Yeah, Seattle has what they call the 12th man, you know, where they're
saying it's tough to play there with the audio. The.
Yeah, and you just named probably the two toughest stadiums to go into, because Mile High is Mile High for a reason. 5,270. It's written right there on their helmets, right on there.
The opponents are wearing oxygen masks.
Yeah. Have a team. You have to acclimate. You have to be so, you know, I'll go Denver, but you know, Seattle would be 1A. Like, if Denver's number one, Seattle's going to be 1A.
They're both tough.
And then everything else is going to be below that. But
I think altitude kills. I think altitude really affects everything.
If you don't acclimate, if your oxygen levels aren't where they need to be, you are 100% correct, man. You will get winded, and you will have to sit out with oxygen masks far more if you're not acclimated to the.
I don't know if most of the away teams, when they go to Denver, they go a few days before, the day before. I don't know what is the strategy there to get acclimated.
What, when a team flies in?
Yeah, do they, like, hey, let's just get there Monday, get used to the altitude. I don't know.
Yeah, of course. No, that's exactly what they're doing. They're not going to wait till the last minute.
They're
not
get there Saturday.
No, not at all. They want to build up a routine. They want to be at that destination, building up a routine day by day, when they do their walkthrough, when they do, because now you're not past. So I believe they leave during the week. I believe they're there for, just like you said, a couple of days, not enough. So the way that you work on that, though, is you just get better at cardio. If your cardio is really high, it doesn't matter if you're at Mile High or if you're at sea level,
or in Miami,
levels are that high, right?
So quite something. I do remember the San Francisco 49ers, when they went to London, they went the day before. They got acclimated with the time zone. So I don't think anything will do that for Denver. But we'll see what happens in the next couple of days and weeks. So some coaches are on the line. I think it's done for Black Monday. I don't see any other coach. Maybe the Jets, but they would have done it by now.
I think Aaron Glenn would have been fired by now if he was going to. But there's six spots that are open. I love your thought process, though, man. I really love it that Flores doesn't want to do the head coaching thing because he doesn't want to get back involved with the lawsuit.
He's blacklisted, I think.
Right. So, right. I would love to see him.
He's a great assistant coach, offensive coordinator, works well with Dallas. Yes. I think he will go for any good defensive teams. He did well with Minnesota. I saw this Minnesota game about a week ago. I was like, man, this defense.
They were incredible. Yeah. They
shut down Detroit.
Yes. Yeah. It looked like they had 12 dudes on the field like all day. You looked like extra men running around. And that's what you want, is a defensive coordinator that can use his schemes and use his players to fit what he needs to fit. And that's what we're missing at Dallas as far as defensive coordinator. So.
Well, there you have it. The 2025-26 NFL playoffs begins this weekend. The first game will be on Saturday at 4:30 p.m. Rams and Panthers. We'll go more in detail this Friday. We have Brett and Ray to tee it up. They'll be going to the library. They'll be making some phone calls. These games. Very important. Brett, what is the best way to reach you online to ask you about the playoffs?
Yeah, I started getting some kickback.
Little flashcards, you got the whiteboard in your room.
I mean, they're like, well, dude, why are you? So SportsGuy369, X, TikTok, Instagram, or Facebook is Brett Blair. Just reach out to me. If you're reaching out and you have that big a question, please, we would love to hear.
And do the bye teams have an advantage? We'll find out.
I'd love to see it. Santiago, it was great seeing you, my friend. Yeah. I'd love to see you.
We got the sportscast.net, our website, or the Sportscast One on X and Instagram. We'll be live tweeting throughout the week. NFL news. Will there be hires this week? I don't think so. I think a little bit later on, a couple weeks from now. But we'll find out who will be the first person to get hired for the new team. The Dolphins are an attractive team. The Giants are. And we'll see. Eberflus hasn't been fired yet. Well, that can happen later tonight.
I thought he already had.
No, not yet. But maybe Eberflus is saying, hey, Jerry, I got the game plan. Don't fire me.
By Friday, hopefully you and I will be saying something different just as far as Dallas. But I do believe it'll be a week or two. I don't think anybody's going to be jumping in or grabbing. If like a Harbaugh came onto the market, or then I would see something signed within a few
That'd be the biggest like coaching name. If he was available, Ravens got rid of him, he'll be the biggest coaching name, right?
Yeah, 100%. Especially a team like the Raiders that would want him to bring him in and change the entire culture, pay him a ton of money.
You think Tom Brady can build us?
Yeah.
You think Tom Brady could persuade him?
Yeah. I mean, I like the fact that he has a say in it. You know, he's part of the coaching search team. Oh, I didn't know that.
He's interviewing. He's making phone calls.
Subcommittee. He's the subcommittee for the search of
him and the GM. That's it. GM Spytek. So quite something. Anyways, this is the Sportscast. Can't wait for this weekend. Stay warm. And this was your update.